Welcome to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series, a project of the Geneva Peacebuilding Platform. Geneva Peace Week was founded on the core belief that each person, actor, and institution has a role to play in building peace and resolving conflict. Geneva Peace Week is an annual forum in the peacebuilding calendar that includes ceremonies, high-level panels, policy briefings, workshops, videos, podcasts, and other special events. These free contributions are hosted by different organizations and actors around the world. This year, Geneva Peace Week celebrates its 10th anniversary and is held from the 30th of October to the 3rd of November, 2023. For more content, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.
Hello, you're listening to the fifth episode of Investing in Women and Peace, the stories of women's essential roles shaping peace processes worldwide. A podcast produced by Inclusive Peace and the United Nations Women's Peace and Humanitarian Fund, WPHF, for the Geneva Peace Week 2023 digital series. This episode will feature two speakers from Ethiopia and Venezuela. Sartu Shemsuddin is the founder of Fratello Humanitarian Organization. She's also affiliated with the Islamic Supreme Council and a former member of the Interreligious Council Ethiopia. Natalia Brandler is the founder and president of Association KOC, dedicated since 2005 to training and empowering Venezuelan women leaders and promoting advocacy campaigns in favor of women's rights. Sartu and Natalia will use the next 15 minutes to exchange on challenges and opportunities for women's participation in national dialogues, focusing particularly on the role and situation of women's civil society organizations. Please note that the views expressed in this episode are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the position of views of Inclusive Peace or WPHF.
Hello, I'm Natalia. Glad to be here with Sartu. Sartu, how are you today?
Hello, Natalia. This is Sartu from Ethiopia. Really, I'm glad to meet you in this discussion. Thank you so much. I think we need effective strategies to promote women's participation in national dialogue, especially in the preparation phase. According to my country's experience, we come across that we need effective strategies to overcome the challenges and to promote women participation. Now, our country, Ethiopia, is in a fragile situation. There's political struggle for power. It's politically divided. So giving opportunity for women for participation so that can influence the national dialogue, I think it's something important and something crucial right now that we need as a country. In this, we are going to say who's going to participate from women, with how many seats are there for this woman, or who will be represented. I know, saying this at the beginning of the national dialogue is difficult because the issues really, when we talk about women participation, you know, it's complicated and sensitive. I think we are going to overcome this through awareness creation of importance of women participation in national dialogue, also by choosing places or situations where women are active on it in order to select women representatives that's going to be voice for women in the national dialogue. Also, we have to work in order not to be monopolized. We have to create voices from different regions. As it's familiar, Ethiopia is it's known for diversity. In Ethiopia, we have different regions, religions, ethnicity, clans. We are a diverse society, so there is also in a different political and social background. So we have to be a kind of impartial and neutral. And we have to support women not to be monopolized. As far as we have information right now, there is no clear strategy by Ethiopian National Dialogue Committee to include women until now, which is really sad. Also, the strategy can be by creating women lead organizations or CSOs network or an individual coalition. We have external actors, CSOs. For example, if we take CSOs that take initiatives by bringing process expertise or trainers to empower women participants for the national dialogue. Then at the end, by strengthening the capacity of women stakeholders to prepare and plan for national dialogue.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sartu. So interesting. I think we share some of the strategies. We have a different situation in the sense that, well, Venezuela is facing an unprecedented humanitarian emergency, also a political crisis, and, well, it's disproportionately affecting women and Venezuelan, women and girls. And fortunately, we don't have an exact data. We don't know what is the exact effect of the crisis on women and girls because, the government hasn't produced reliable and disaggregated data. But what we know is that over 7.5 million Venezuelans have fled the country in very unsafe conditions, many of them undocumented, and that exacerbates the dangers they face. We have an estimated of 1,500 Venezuelan women and girls that were rescued from trafficking networks in 2022. One femicide every 26 hours. Women are facing difficulties to be nourished. So for us, a sensitive peace dialogue means that it is of vital importance that political actors involved in the dialogue process move forward in strengthening democracy by including the voice of women from all sectors. We also are a diverse society in a different way than Ethiopia, but we do have indigenous women, Afro-descendants, women with disabilities, LGBT population that we think should be invited to the talk. And that way, we need to make sure that agreements take into account all those voices and have a gender perspective. And more than that, or further, that they participate in monitoring the implementation of the agreements in the future. So that's why we are really pushing forward, all our efforts to make sure there are women in the negotiation table, but also that women from civil society are heard. And Sartu, I would like to know in the case of your country, what does it mean, that we conducting a sensitive peace dialogue in your country? It's gender sensitive.
Women in CSOs in Ethiopia are now participating in both peace process and international dialogue. Unfortunately, women in CSOs are not that much active participants, especially in the national dialogue and peace process when we compare it with male counterpart, which is also another challenge in areas of CSOs and women in CSOs. Some women, Ethiopian CSOs, also participated a lot, also as they take a lead role. Unfortunately, they didn't necessarily represent the voice, the needs and experiences of all local women voices and regions. I think it's necessary to include more women organizations, especially inclusion of women organizations at national level. Doesn't mean women at grassroots level are well represented, because Ethiopia is now divided by political views and the region. So we need more participation of women, especially in the peace process, in the national dialogue, not only grassroots community, but also women with different political and social background has to be addressed by women-led civil society organizations and CSOs in general in the peace process and the national dialogue.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sartu. I'd like to mention what's happening in Venezuela in terms of what are the strategies that NGOs are using, you know, as peace builders. And, well, first of all, I'd like to say that I'm convinced of the power of women's dialogues using the methods and techniques of citizen diplomacy or feminine diplomacy. And for us Venezuelan women, this means to align ourselves with a common cause, setting aside political differences in order to achieve a consensus gender agenda and to present proposals in the face of the crisis and to make our plural voices and our proposals heard in the negotiations to find solutions to the crisis. And this is urgent. To this end, we in Asociación Cauce, we coven leaders representing the various relevant political and social tendencies in the country who could commit themselves to raise their voices and carry out advocacy actions until progress is made. So basically, I think that, you know, our objective is to achieve coordination, cooperation between women's networks from different social and political segments and promote advocacy actions on previously agreed issues. This has not been easy. We need to continue to create spaces of mutual trust. And we also think it's important to create a strong women's movement that has a legitimacy, so we represent all women and in actions to influence political decisions. Of course, we are also reaching out to other networks like the Colombian networks of women peace builders. So maybe you have some thoughts about this, or we could round up with some final thoughts about all this process and the women's intervention in peace processes.
Thank you so much, Natalia. At the end, my final remark is, and as recommendation, I can say significant representation of women should be provided at the national dialogue table and peace process. Also, my second point is increasing women's participation in peace process and the national dialogue requires shifting the parameters of what we consider is political. That means broadening process beyond the political elites, that's often male, because women should have to participate and should have to have a voice in the national dialogue and peace process. Finally, strengthening women networks and the women initiatives are also important in order to have successful national dialogue and a successful peace process. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series. For more content like this, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.